Hi there, this is Dennis Velko with Out Bureau. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Out Bureau Voices, where we're bringing you interesting and sometimes funny conversations with LGBT entrepreneurs, community leaders, and professionals from around the globe, as well as community allies, such as Craig and Sue Doreen of Franchise Connect Pro. They're franchise consultants, and what exactly is that? Welcome to the show, Craig and Sue. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having us. Yeah, so certified franchise consultants is a career that many people are unaware of. And what we are is we're here to help people identify and evaluate their best franchise ownership alternatives. Many people want to be entrepreneurs and aren't sure how to get into business or what business they should get into. And as a franchise consultant, we help people to do that in the best possible way.
Yeah, and to add on that, the analogy I always use, Dennis, is very similar to a realtor, right? When somebody is out looking for a house, of course, a realtor is going to want to know, do you want a two-bedroom, a five-bedroom, in town, out of town? Want to spend $100,000 or $1 million on a house? And so before we could even begin to make some suggestions on the right franchise for our clients, we need to have conversations about what is the right business model. And that's really what we like to focus on.
Right.
Okay.
I would add, people will often come to us and say, so what's the hot franchise, Sue and Craig? And there are a lot of hot franchises, but not every franchise is right for every individual. And so we provide that individual attention to really help them figure out what is their hot franchise for what their goals and objectives are.
Understand. So it also probably has a lot to do with, as you kind of gave the analogy of a realtor, like I myself love mid-century modern design. Don't even show me a, you know, French provincial or Tuscany looking home. I would never buy it. So I kind of get that. And as an entrepreneur, you're also bringing, you don't really, I could see where kind of the hot franchise is maybe interesting for some people. But also you need to probably have some level of interest and passion in and around what you are going to do, because this is not really a job. It's a business. And so if you don't want to be in the hamburger business, for example, you probably don't want to go into that. So what are, as you're going through and chatting with these entrepreneurs about their interest, what are some of the kind of key things, just like a realtor would go through and ask the typical questions, you know, how many bedrooms, what part of town, do you care about the schools, if you have kids, do you want a pool, do you not want a pool? And I really do love that analogy, because if you're looking at the franchises, there are so many, right? There's lots of different franchises, from the extremely well-known franchises to the up and comings. And so what are some of the general questions that you would ask someone who, let's say one of our audience members were to say, wow, I'm possibly considering this. So what kinds of things do you ask them?
Yeah, the best way where we normally start having those kinds of conversations, Dennis, is we ask our clients, well, tell us about your background. What did you like? You know, throughout your career, you've been doing something. What are the things that you liked? What are the things that you didn't like? So we get a good sense of, to your point, the passions, right? What they, where they've been successful. Some specific questions, it might be things along the lines of giving back to the community. It might be things along the lines of, they want more family time. So all those, or are they trying to leave, build an empire? Are they trying to leave a legacy for whatever? So all those types of questions is where we start. So you want to add?
Some of the other areas we'll get into as well is, you know, how do they want to spend their day? Do they want to look at things business to business? Do they want to be business to consumer? We'll talk about the various industries. There's many, many industry segments that are represented by franchises. Some that have a lot of growth, some that are slower, some that are new. So you have to understand if people want to look at an emerging brand or do they want a really, you know, well-built out brand as well. all franchises are proven business models. So I don't like to say they want something more proven. We talk about trends. We talk about industry, you know, analysis. Right now, post-COVID, I would say anybody who's willing to look at the cleaning business, you can't go wrong. There's thriving industries. We talk about home base, brick and mortar, that gets into investment, which we can cover a little bit later. Lots and lots of questions.
Yeah. So the way we really like to operate, in summary, it's about a conversation, right? That's really much like we're doing here. That's what we like to do with our clients, is really just have discussions. And then they may say something that they didn't even think is important, but throughout the process, little tidbits that we pick up here and there is really how is very critical to the matching process that we do.
So outside of like an established brand, you know, I think of some major brands that everyone knows that are franchises, like a McDonald's, Subway, and I'm sure there's pizza, you know, pretty much anything, some of the major brands in food, in fast food, they're pretty well known. I can think of like a franchise in, for example, the marketing and print, Minutemen, if I'm not mistaken, franchise. And you mentioned like, I mean, I'm sure there's like plumbing and cleaning and so forth.
There's about 4,000 franchises to choose from.
Oh my.
About 72 industry segments. There's a lot I don't recommend. For various reasons, but some of the others that people are unaware of, there's a whole lot in education and tutoring, children's enrichment, there's pet businesses, senior care is a huge thriving business as people are living longer, growing older, and wanting to stay in their homes. There's a lot of business-to-business opportunities as far as consulting services, cost reduction opportunities. Any home improvement service, there's automotive. I mean, I can go on, so I'll stop for a little bit. But just to give you an idea, broad range of opportunities out there, fitness, certainly.
And let me, one other comment to your point, Dennis. I sort of chuckled when you talk about pizza and hamburgers and the Subways of the world, and those are great franchises. But almost inevitably, that's what everybody really thinks about. And an interesting point is that 7 out of 10 times when people move forward with a franchise, when they're working with the consultants like Sue and myself, they move forward with a franchise other than what they initially thought they had in their mind. And the reason is because there were preconceived notions, just like you've mentioned, and most people think they have. To Sue's point, there's so many different franchises. So what we really like to stress early on is have an open mind. Just because you like pizza, pizza may be a great franchise for you, but who knows? It might be cleaning. It might be home services. And again, it comes all back to the business model. So having an open mind is really something we like to stress.
Okay. So, it sounds like there's, as I imagine, there's probably lots of franchises that one I might not even know is a franchise.
Bingo.
Because it might not be a super saturated franchise, you know, like the Subways of the world. You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, there's more Subways than any other fast food restaurant or something in the United States. To your point, so where's, so I imagine for the entrepreneur, there's many benefits to going with a franchise, and that is, as you indicated, Sue, it is a proven business model. In order to get to the point of becoming a franchise, there has to be the repeatable processes, right?
Absolutely.
And so for someone who is looking at wanting to be their own boss, but have some structure and know where those suppliers are coming in, have a little bit, even if it's a new franchise is which is a great opportunity, but to get in and have that proven business model, have your supply chain there and ready for you, and have that part of that national brand, even if it's a growing franchise, and you know, you're kind of like, as I've talked about in some of the other episodes that I've done, you know, I've used the example of Susie the dentist, right? She goes off to become, you know, a reconstructive dental surgeon is what I framed her as, and or cosmetic surgeon. But no one taught her how to do her marketing. No one taught her how to do her legal, you know, and her finance. And I could really see where taking on a franchise, you're kind of eliminating a lot of that guesswork, a lot of those initial expenses, like creating a logo, the branding, and all of those, you know, again, supplying
all
resources.
Part of the business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It becomes all part of the business model. It's all the processes for operations, for marketing, for the sales, for who to hire, how many to hire, all the KPIs on your business, how to manage your business appropriately. It is the branding, it's the training, it's the education, and frankly, it's the teamwork. Franchisees do not compete against each other. They work together to build a brand and build a business. So the sharing of best practices is important. I can go on and on about benefits of franchising. It's important to understand that franchises, in order to become a franchise and get approved by the Federal Trade Commission, all have to be a proven business model with success and the ability to replicate. They've had to have multiple territories or multiple locations before they can even be offered as a franchise. Some people will feel like, oh, well, franchises are going to take money from me. They're going to require me to pay a royalty. And part of what I try to explain to people is there is a royalty involved. However, you're getting a lot for that royalty. You're getting the ongoing marketing. Some people, that's not their forte. They don't know how to be on social media. Or they get the operational procedures, the supplier procedures. If they didn't have the royalty payment, they'd still be paying for that service, but they'd be figuring it out on their own. So it's a cost avoidance often as well.
Good point. Because you would be, it's like, you know, what would, you know, let's say it's a cleaning business, something that seems relatively easy to start, right? And it is for some, but, you know, you do have to look at how are you going to attract the customers.
And lead generation. While you're out meeting with clients, you want who's answering your phones. Maybe a call center is a more efficient process to have a franchisor who has the call center so you're never missing a call versus paying an office manager or having that important client get left in voicemail somewhere. So there's a lot of different intricacies involved in the business model, and those are some of the things that we address.
Interesting. And too, you know, if you are, you know, as those kind of businesses, I could really see where, you know, let's say you're a plumber or, you know, you have that trade where a very local, you know, business providing services to your local, other local business or consumers. And, you know, yes, you can go out and you could start your own business and being, you know, carpet cleaning or, you know, dog walking even and so forth or cleaning homes. But the brand recognition that a franchise, especially if it's, you know, a national franchise, is whenever someone, you know, sees two options, I could imagine that in the eyes of the consumer, it's like, oh, well, you know, do I go with a local person and, you know, just starting off and, you know, great for anyone who's looking at entrepreneurialism, and that's all valid. But then I could imagine that in the eyes of that homeowner and consumer, that being part of that national brand would give that person a sense of comfort, a sense of knowing, and, you know, could possibly lead to more phone calls than as if you were just starting off yourself.
Often quality, it's customer service, and not that the mom and pop doesn't provide that, but a brand name does bring recognition. The other piece of that would be what entrepreneurs typically do in their communities. Many, regardless of the brand they're representing, an important part of the business structure is giving back to the community, whether it's sponsoring a sports team or having a charity or doing community service of some type. Franchises build that into their business model. And I think that culture is important for people to understand too. A lot of people want to be able to give back. They want to be able to pay their bills, but really what they want to do is have something that's involved in the community. Franchising is a great way to do both.
Oh, interesting. Because I, you know, just from the outside, you'd almost think, oh, well, it's a franchise, so therefore, you know, all the money is going off to somewhere that's not local. But
no.
Let me add one more comment about, you brought it up earlier, Dennis, about the, right, the name recognition, and then also earlier in our conversation about, you know, newer emerging brands. So Sue and I represent probably well over 500 different brands. And I bring that up, so that sounds like a lot, you know, it's a large number, which it is, but as Sue previously mentioned, there's over 4,000 brands to pick from. And so we actually practice what we preach. So our company, or which is Sue and I, our two-person company, Franchise Connect Pro, we are part of a larger organization. Our franchisor is called FranServe. So we pay them royalties. We originally purchased, bought in. And the reason I bring that up is, again, we practice what we preach. One of the main benefits of what our parent company does for us, for our particular business, is vet those franchises. So somebody can go out and just, you know, which a lot of people do, Google top 20 franchises, right? And they do, and they do their own search and they get the sales pitch. What our parent company does for us is they vet the franchises, and so they have to meet certain parameters to get into our portfolio. And then Sue and I take it a step further. So even though there's 4,000, sorry about that. Even though there's 4,000 franchises out there and we represent 500, realistically, you can't research 500. You can't research even 20. We basically boil it down by having that conversation. So again, our parent company does the vetting. We vet it further. And so when we have these conversations, there's maybe 20 or 30 of our favorites that we know have been vetted, both by our parent and by us.
Okay.
There's a lot to look at. You want to look at the executive team. You want to look at their ability to support their franchisees, not just their ability to sell a franchise, right? You want to pick an organization that's well capitalized, that can provide the proper education and training, that has shown significant growth, has shown steady growth, et cetera. So it's more than just, the brand name is important, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot more to it. Emerging brands are a great opportunity. Wouldn't you have liked to have been the first Subway owner? I mean, look at what happened with Subways, right? So somebody has to be that pioneer, and not everybody wants to be the pioneering entrepreneur, but there are some wonderful opportunities with that as well.
Yeah. So getting back to, you know, what you were just talking about, Craig, and the vetting, you know, if someone is out there and they're saying, you know, hey, you know, I'd like to be an entrepreneur, I'd like to work for myself, but you know, there's so much risk out there in starting a business, and so many operational issues and marketing issues and things that we had already talked about. But then to go off and have that idea to say, hey, I want to look at franchises because of the benefits of the being a franchisee, but you know, having that vetted list, going through what you guys have gone through, because I could imagine if I were to look at that, let's just say I was, you know, possibly interested in fitness, you've already indicated, well, you know, come to it with an open mind. Maybe the idea that you had, you know, it might fit what you thought would be good, but you know, maybe just taking that example, maybe your local market's a little overly saturated with other fitness centers. And so maybe that's for your interest and location. Maybe that's not the best one, but hey, you also indicated you're interested in donuts. Maybe there's not enough donut shops, although maybe you wouldn't want to go from fitness to donuts. Maybe that's a bad idea, but hey, serve those who donuts and then fitness center later. But I like that idea in that you are cutting off so much time and legwork, because if I were to go out and one, I wouldn't know all the companies that are a potential to be in the franchise world. And then secondly, how much time would that take? OMG, right? Right. I mean, if I just knew the top five or six that I may be interested in, that would take me probably over a month just to go through their sales process. and get all of the information where you guys, your value proposition that you offer is you're cutting all of that time. You're getting to know the entrepreneur and saying, yeah, here are the ones that you might be interested in. We've already vetted them. We've already gone through all this due diligence. Now it's really just up to you to make that choice.
That's right. And that's why that conversation that we've been talking about, right? We, you know, in our terms, we call it a CQ, a candidate questionnaire. That's why it is critically important to have these conversations long before we would ever suggest a franchise. And frequently, Sue and I will do it together, because the old adage, two heads are better than one. And many times when we're talking to our clients, it is also a couple that could be looking at it. It could be partners, right? And so we like to have all parties involved. I can't tell you how many times Sue and I will be on a call with two or three other folks, because everybody has their own opinion and everybody has their own thoughts. So we take all of that into consideration. And so that candidate questionnaire is very early on in the process. And frankly, that's, you know, to tell you a little about our process, for the most part, I'll have that initial conversation, then we'll bring Sue in. But we give them a homework assignment, quite frankly. Right after we have that first call, we have a Google Docs and other information that, hey, before we have our next call, even if you don't want to fill out these forms, just read these forms, and I promise you, you're going to come away with some thoughts that you're going to say, wow, I never thought of that. And inevitably, on the next phone call, we always hear, oh, that was a great document. I never thought of this, or I never thought of that. So we get their minds thinking.
Right. It involves a little self-reflection to be an entrepreneur. You have to look inside. How do you want to spend your day? You know, we go back, we briefly discussed that you may love pizza. Doesn't mean necessarily you want to own a pizza franchise, right? That you want to spend all day doing that. So you do have to spend some time. Where are your strengths? Is your strengths in sales? Is it in marketing? Is it in operations? Do you hate paperwork? You know, whatever the person's individual needs are, that all has to play into it. Obviously, financial is a piece of the pie as well.
Right. Absolutely. Well, true. Absolutely. And, you know, you're going to invest finances in some way, right? Mm-hmm. And even as a, you know, bootstrap startup starting a local business, well, your time is worth the money.
Absolutely.
So it's but you're paying again for that proven service, proven the processes, proven systems and so forth. So it's fast tracking you to actually earning. So
when you have a really good idea of what amount of money you need when you're working with a franchise, they're going to lay it out for you down to the working capital. How much money do you want to have set aside for that unexpected piece that might show up? But they'll break it all down for you. And I do just want to mention, it's an important piece with franchises, is that franchises are an awarding process. No matter how much money you have, you can't necessarily get a franchise because you want one. It is a two-way relationship for a long term, and so it is an awarding process. It's really important people understand that.
I see. So it's not necessary. So it's almost in a way like interviewing for a job in a way. I mean, you have to have, they also have to select you.
Yes.
Right. To Sue's point early on, when it's it's a long-term relationship. And a marriage and the teamwork, they got to make sure that the new franchisee is coming in, that's coming into their system, is a good fit and is not going to, you know, disrupt, if you will. They're always open to new ideas and different personalities, but again, it has to be a cohesive two-way fit.
It is a two-way relationship.
Let me go back on the financial piece as well. As we stressed, right, much like a house, right, we wouldn't want to suggest, you know, if you're looking at a house, wouldn't want to show you $1 million house if you're looking, you know, your budget's $300,000. Obviously, you're going to love the $1 million house, but you can't afford it. So the same thing in financing. But on the flip side, what we also take very seriously is income, right? So it's not just how much can you afford, but what are your income expectations? There are certain franchises that you're going to be cash flow positive much quicker than others. And so that's also an important part of the discussion of, want to make sure you got to be able to put food on the table the day you leave your corporate job or whatever and open up your business, that you have enough working capital and you can actually pay your bills and keep your same lifestyle. That's also taken into consideration on the financial side, not just the expense.
Okay, very good to know. So it's a very thorough process.
It is.
Well, we like to think so.
Yes. It surprises. That's the benefit also of working with us and with consultants in this realm.
And by the way, our services are no charge to our clients. People always ask, well, what is this going to cost, right? Our services are no charge, right? Similar to a realtor. The way Sue and I get, put food on the table and get paid is if and when our candidates move forward with a franchise, the franchisor pays us a referral fee. And the reason they do that is because we've done exactly what we're talking about here. We've done a lot of the upfront discussions, the vetting. And so when we introduce our candidates to a franchisor, the franchisor knows they're probably pretty qualified and pretty interested. And so it's more financially beneficial for them to work through consultants like us and pay us to do that.
That makes sense. Just like a realtor,
exactly.
they don't show you houses until they understand your budget, because right. they also right. don't want to waste their time, right?
Right?
And showing you homes, you know, they're not HGTV out here to show
right.
you
right.
all the fabulous
exactly.
houses
right.
in the
yes.
neighborhood. They're out to show you what you can afford,
right.
what you're
yeah.
well qualified for, and fast track your process to doing that. So I totally get that, and that's very interesting. I appreciate you bringing that up. So you're very much like a realtor in the same sense of you get paid by the franchise company for doing all that legwork and fast tracking it, because they know that person, as you indicated, is going to be highly interested, qualified, so it makes their life easier and their process easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people do not realize folks like us exist. Everybody knows a realtor exists. So inevitably, when I first have these initial conversations, and probably when you and I first started chatting, you know, whatever it was last year, wow, a franchise consultant. What the heck do you do? I've never heard of that. And so education is involved, much like, you know, we're talking about here today, is educating people on what we do.
Right, absolutely. And now, just for clarity, you guys, if I recall correctly, are located physically in the Atlanta area?
Correct.
That's correct, but we work nationally.
You work nationally across the United States, for those listening and watching, just to be clear.
Yeah, and Canada.
Oh, and Canada.
Yes.
Okay, so
and
U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And yes, Sue and I reside in Atlanta 10 months out of the year, but... again, we practice what we preach. One of the beauties of having your own business is we're now talking to you from Chicago, because we live in Chicago in the summer because our two grown children live here. So we have the flexibility of, obviously, we're a home-based business, packing up our computers, packing up our dog, driving to Chicago. And
it's a benefit of being an entrepreneur.
So we're working from Chicago and talking to you from Chicago as we speak.
Right. Well, very neat. And, I appreciate you guys being part of the OutBureau kind of world.
Franchises are very welcoming. They look for diversity. They want a diverse group of franchisees. That is the world we live in. So why would they not want diversity? The International Franchise Association as well, has a lot of new outreach programs and a lot of encouragement in the diversity arena as well. If your viewers look at the IFA website, I believe it's ifa.com, you'll see there's a lot of new types of pride research going on and pride organizations in order to make sure that all communities are well represented in franchising as well.
Yep. And in fact, for your viewers and listeners and folks that are connected with OutBureau, I've actually posted that IFA article on the OutBureau website as well.
The first article.
And other ones are coming, but there's a link to IFA, as Sue mentioned, directly on my feed on my stream feed with an Out Bureau today.
All right. Well, wonderful. Well, what I'll do is make sure that those links get on the episode pages and in the descriptions below so that people can very quickly find that and get to that information.
Great.
So,
well, appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, well, no, we love working with you. We love what you're doing for, you know, for entrepreneurs, LGBTQ community, and for business in general. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Craig and Sue. We look forward to having you back on the show to talk more about franchises and entrepreneurial opportunities for the LGBTQ entrepreneurs and budding entrepreneurs. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Dennis. Yeah. Great.
Awesome.
Great seeing you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Out Bureau Voices. This is Dennis Velko. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit that subscribe and follow. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.